There were a handful of things, one thing, two things, three things that a young person could do to guarantee their financial success. What would those things be? That's what I want to talk about today. Foundationally and fundamentally, there are no guarantees in life, but there are probabilities. And there are probabilities with personal finance. So if you do these things, are you guaranteed to become successful? No, of course not. But you'll probably become financially successful. And I think that that is certainly enough. This month, August of 2026, I am celebrating, or it marks my 25th year as a financial advisor. Not that I'm 25 years old and am a financial advisor, that I have been a financial advisor for 25 years. But that's a story for another day. It's kind of hard for me to get my brain around, but that's just how time works. So what are three things that if you were to do them, would probably lead to financial success over the long term? That's what I want to talk about. So it's in some ways advice to my younger self. It's my advice to you if, in fact, you are a young person, or if you love and have young people in your life, here are three things that you can teach them that will position them for long-term financial success. Fun, sexy, let's go. Let's get into it. Now, to make these extra sticky and kind of easy to get our brain around, not that it's rocket science, because most things that are of greatest value are pretty common sense and pretty simple. But to make it a little stickier, I think about them in the context of Olympic medals, because we all know what those are. We've got gold, silver, and bronze. So gold is number one, silver is number two, and of course, bronze would be number three, however you'd like to do number three. So the gold medal of personal finance. Rule number one is pay yourself first. No doubt you've heard that, but do you know what it really means? Well, it means that you are putting your needs, your family's needs, your young person, so your needs, exactly where they should be, which is before everybody else's. So before you pay your car payment or you pay your apartment or whatever, your rent, make sure that you have some kind of an account that you're making an automatic contribution to on a monthly basis. So if you've got a job, which I hope that you do, if there's a 401k at work, make your contribution in there the first of every month. If you are not yet working at a company that has a 401k, but you have a job, set up an IRA, an individual retirement account, a Roth IRA is perfect, and automate contributions into that account on the first of the month. If you are just getting started with saving, you can automate a transfer from your checking account into your savings account or your money market account to happen on the first of the month. So the money just goes in there. If you don't do that, if you find yourself paying everybody else first and then waiting around to the end of the month to save money for you, well, you will discover that there will be nothing left over. And all too often, you will find that there's more month and not enough money, more month than money. Not a happy place to be. And certainly over the course of my adult life, I found myself there quite a bit. Less so these days, but it happens. It happens. But the whole thing here is, if you get in the habit of doing that thing right there, if you could put 20% of everything that you earn into an account that is for your future benefit, does that guarantee your success? Well, no, but gosh, it's probably going to make you successful. So if you're 15 years old, you got kids who are 15 that are working, that have money coming in, setting up that IRA, making contributions to it. You're 22 years old, you just graduated college, you got your first job. If you can get to the point where you're putting 20% of your money away, oof, you're really setting yourself up for success. So that's such a big one. The Richest Man in Babylon was a book, classic personal finance book. He said that 10% or 10 cents of every dollar you earn is yours to keep. If you can get to 20, that's freaking awesome. It's really where you want to be. So gold medal, rule number one, pay yourself first. Silver medal, number two, stay out of credit card debt. Stay out of credit card debt. If you're in credit card debt, do everything that you can to get out of it. Credit card debt is just one of the most nefarious, sinister things in our society. All kinds of consumer debt. And these days, we have so many different ways to buy crap that we don't really need right now. Got buy now, pay later, and blah, 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 and probably all kinds of different things that I'm not even aware of, but so many different ways to do it. And you show up to college on the first day of your freshman year, you've got some kind of a welcome kit or box, and lo and behold, there's credit card offers in there. Thanks. Thanks a lot. It's like a drug dealer sitting there with a little sample for you. Gets you hooked right away. Let's get you into this system of minimum monthly payments and all this other crap. And by the way, interest rates, the annual percentage rates on these things are extraordinary. And I've certainly had to dig out from underneath mountains of credit card debt, and it just sucks. You know, beyond actual infidelity, financial struggles are one of the leading causes of why relationships and marriages fail. Just don't put yourself there. Avoid credit card debt. If you can avoid credit card debt, man, you're really setting yourself up and positioning yourself for success. So just don't get into it. If you're in it, do everything that you can to get out of it. Make a plan. So many great resources out there for paying off credit card debt, all that stuff. But that's the silver medal. Stay out of credit card debt. Rule number three. Number three, the bronze medal. Diversify. Take a diversified approach to your investing. Now, this is maybe one of the most boring ones, but it's probably one of the hardest. Because when I was a young person, and I still am the same way today, I want to get rich. And how do you do that? Well, you speculate. You put big bets on risky things. So you buy individual stocks. You put all your money into crypto. That's how it goes. And certainly, you find yourself holding a lottery ticket where it could go up, you know, 1,000%, but it can also go to zero. And I've had both of those experiences. Professional money managers, professional traders, they talk about losing money in the stock market as paying your tuition. Everybody's got to go through it. So if you have never invested in an individual stock and you start doing that, you will lose your money. Doesn't mean you're going to lose all of it. You might find some winners. But what I advocate for is this. You give yourself permission to engage in that kind of speculation. Because that's what it is speculation. There's saving money, which is putting money into a savings account or a checking account, a money market fund, a CD at the bank. Then there's investing. So it's taking calculated risk. And then there's, of course, speculation, which is taking wild, wild swings and putting all of your money at risk. Warren Buffett, one of the world's foremost, most famous investors, said, you know, one of the most primary things you can't do, rule number one, is don't blow yourself up. So don't lose all your money. And when you put all of your money into one concentrated investment, like an individual stock, you have the potential of losing all of it. You can look back over time, and there's a lot of different examples of people being way too concentrated. And one of the classic examples is a company called Enron. And you can look up Enron, but what it was one of the biggest companies in the United States. And everybody thought it was this wonderful company. It got caught up in accounting problems. And unfortunately, Enron collapsed. What makes it doubly bad is employees at Enron, many of them had all of their money in their 401k in Enron stock. So what happened was they lost their livelihood, so they lost their paycheck, but then they also lost their entire retirement account too, because the stock went to zero. It doesn't exist anymore. So doubly bad. And these days we have so many wonderful ways like Robinhood and probably countless other new apps and trading platforms that allow you to easily, and they incentivize you, sort of like interfaces on social media, to be buying and selling individual stocks and doing it more frequently. And like everything's a double-edged sword. You can't have the good without the bad, the sweet without the salty, all that kind of stuff, or the sour rather. But it's great that those apps have introduced people and gotten them into the world of investing. That's certainly a positive thing. Breaking down those walls of, oh my gosh, how in the world does one buy a stock? And that's certainly a positive thing. But the downside is that There's probably a little too much speculation going on and people putting way too much money into an individual stock position versus what's the opposite? What's the alternative? And here's what I'm advocating for, you know, not giving you any financial advice because I don't know you and your situation. But what I advocate for is taking a very well-diversified, low-cost, passive approach and give you some examples of that. I think that one of the most commonly known, most easily understood investment out there is the S&P 500. So the S&P 500 tracks the 500 biggest companies in the stock market. And you can buy shares of that through a mutual fund or another financial instrument called an ETF, an exchange-traded fund, which are very, very, very similar. So when you buy a share of an S&P 500 mutual fund or exchange-traded fund, you own a small piece of the 500 biggest companies in the stock market. So it's pretty cool. And if you look at the historical returns of the S&P 500, you'd be doing really well. If I had, for example, started buying the shares of the S&P when I was, 22 years old when I started in the business 25 years ago, the rates of return would be astronomical. And whatever money I had put in, and I certainly have invested in this method that I'm talking about, but today it's just ubiquitous. It's very easy to go and buy the S&P 500 or these well-diversified investments. Companies like Vanguard really pioneered this approach of passive low-cost investment. And the low-cost thing, that's another great value here. The S&P 500 index, the ETFs, the mutual funds, they're essentially free. Now, the cost of a share is not free, but once you own it, the expense ratio, there's for some, is zero. For others, it's very, 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 very low. It's pennies. So I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place to have money. And I have a substantial, meaningful amount of money that's invested in the S&P 500, exactly as I've been talking about. So that is what I think is a very prudent way to go about things. So I talk about giving myself permission, and I talk to my clients and anybody else who will listen about giving yourself permission. So writing yourself that permission slip. And the idea here is, for all of your important financial goals and objectives, let's use a couple of examples. Let's say that you want to buy a house within the next 5 years. Let's say that you want to save for a child's education within the next 20 years. And then eventually you want to be able to step away from full-time employment and retire, or just have financial security, financial flexibility, freedom, whatever term you're interested in. For each one of those priorities, understand how much money that you must be saving each month in order to achieve that number. Figure out what the rate of return is that you need to get in order to accumulate the amount that you need. So for retirement, let's assume that you're 22 years old, you want to retire at 65, and if you were to put $500 a month into an IRA or your 401k at work at an 8% rate of return, you'd have well over $1 million, probably a lot more than that at age 65. And I want you to use a low-cost passive investment like the S&P 500 or a target date fund, something along those lines. Okay, so for each one of those, for college savings, same thing. Okay, I just had a child, got 18 years to be saving. If I were to put it into one of these passive low-cost investments over the next 18 years, if I put $250 in, how much money would I have? Great. So for all of those, you don't need to have them fully funded. So I'm not saying if you want to have $1 million for retirement, you don't need $1 million. You're just making the contributions on a monthly basis that will eventually, through compound interest and all that good stuff, result in the desired amount down the road. Okay. Now, what you've done is you've given yourself permission. Now I want you to feel very confident and comfortable placing more concentrated bets on things. Go buy shares of NVIDIA. Go buy shares of Apple. Go buy shares of Starbucks. Go buy crypto. Go buy Bitcoin. Go buy whatever. Because you've already done the really important work of taking a diversified approach to the biggest financial priorities that you have. So in summary, hopefully that's pretty easy to remember. The gold medal, pay yourself first. The silver medal, stay out of debt. Bronze medal, take a diversified approach. That's something that anybody can understand. Now, assume that you're 15 years old, or I'm talking to my my three kids. If I could get them to embrace those three things, to be saving at least 10% of everything that they've ever that they're going to earn immediately, as soon as they start earning money, they put 10% away. 20% is even better, obviously. It's twice as much for you math folks out there. If you could get them to never get into credit card debt, if I could get them to take that diversified approach, are they guaranteed to be financially successful? No, but they're probably going to be financially successful. So I think that that is solid. And here's a bonus tip. The bonus tip is embracing, recognizing and embracing that you're worthy of the financial success that you're wanting. You are deserving of the financial success that you are wanting. So if you want to get filthy rich, I'm here for it. Let's go. If you just want to stop worrying about money, I'm here for it. Let's go. You can do that. You can become financially successful, whatever version of financial success you desire. You're worthy of it. You're deserving of it. Here's the kicker. You're not entitled to it. None of us are entitled to it. So we got to do the work. But hopefully what I laid out is pretty straightforward. One more time. Enroll in your company's 401k. Open an IRA and automate contributions into it the first of every month. If you're in credit card debt, make a plan for getting out. If you're not in credit card debt, don't get in. And take a very diversified approach to all of your financial goals and objectives. When you do that, you've given yourself permission to be more aggressive. So I work with, part of my work at this point in time is I do a lot of training and coaching for other financial advisors. And I've got a whole program called The Meaningful Advisor. And we train on understanding what our clients' biggest objectives, biggest priorities, what matters most to them, and then aligning their planning, their spending, their financial behaviors to those things that matter the most, and coach them on educating and just helping people figure out, I'm here, I want to go there. How do I make that happen and close that gap? If you want some support on your financial journey, I'd be happy to connect you with one of our meaningful advisors. And you can do that by clicking on the link in the notes of the show, or you can find me on LinkedIn. That's a good way to connect with me, or just shoot me a message and I'm happy to make that connection. Finally, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.